Today we are looking at commandment number 8. The Old Testament 10 commandments, commandment number 8. Now, this is the fourth of the last 6 commandments, the first 4 being addressing our relationship with God, our behavior with God, the last 6 addressing our relationship and behavior with other people. And this is number 4. Remember what they were? Honor thy father and thy mother. That was the first one of the last 6. Thou shalt not kill, murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And today, thou shalt not steal. How many of you have ever had your car or house broken into and had something taken from you? Well, quite a few, yeah. Not a good feeling, is it? Feel very violated. And as that occurs to us, somehow we want to see that that person gets justice. It's not right. And of course, it isn't right. But this whole topic of thou shalt not steal or do not steal, it's a lot deeper than just somebody taking your wallet. And we're going to see today as we go through this some of the things that are related from Scripture to this concept of stealing. So here's some of the questions we're going to be answering. What causes people to steal? What kinds of theft are there? We can steal from God, we can steal from others, and we can even steal from ourselves. What are some misused principles that result in stealing? What's the remedy for stealing? And how do we overcome stealing? So, trust you'll have open ears. There's some blanks for you to fill in your outline as we go through this. There's lots of scripture here, because I don't want to be quoted as what I said. I want to hear what God says and have you hear what God says on these topics. So let's just stop and pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, please teach us as we reference it on this very topic. These 4 words, thou shalt not steal. Powerful principles for life. And so teach us that it may change our lives to being in harmony with your instructions. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So what causes people to steal? Well, the first one we're going to look at is extreme need. I don't know if you've ever been hungry enough to steal something. I have to say I haven't. I might have thought I was hungry and grabbed something out of the fridge. It wasn't stealing, but sometimes you can get very hungry and you got to have food now. But there are people who are very hungry. And in Proverbs chapter 6 is a recognition of this. It says there, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore 7-fold. He shall give all the substance of his house. So if someone's truly destitute, there's mercy. But if someone's claiming hunger, but we find out that they have much already of their own, then the scripture says they are to restore 7-fold. So if you steal a chocolate bar, you got to give back 7. Wow, that's pretty extreme. And then it talks about a lack of trust in God. Lack of trust in God on your outline. God calls us to trust him in life, but sometimes we don't. And as a result, we may be tempted to take something that doesn't belong to us. Verse 7 of chapter 52 of Psalms. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his substance or his dependence on his things, which is, from the biblical perspective, wickedness. Lack of trust in God. Covetousness. We're going to come to that commandment. That's number 10. And we're going to come to it specifically and do a very deep dive on it. But here, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, is a reminder. And it said, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Does that ever address our culture? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he's got. Our showcase of life. Oh, look at my house. Look at my furniture. Look at my clothes. Look at my car. Look at my boat. Look at my camper. Look at my cottage. Look at me. Aren't I something? Am I not something? To use proper English. And Jesus said, your life does not consist in your stuff. Get past that. Because it never ends. There's never enough when you're covetous. And so be sure that you don't fall into that trap. 1 Timothy chapter 6 speaks about the love of money. Often the love of money will cause people to steal. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. The love of money. How do I know if I love money? How easy is it for you to give it away? That's the test. Starting with God. Give to God an honor to Him. Don't fall in love with money. It will tempt you to steal. Matthew chapter 4 talks about a story that Jesus experienced. And this is something that sometimes we use out of context, because when somebody does something wrong, you have the temptation to say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil never makes you do it. We all have a will. We have the power to say no. But in this passage of Matthew chapter 4, and I won't read it all, Jesus is taken up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He fasts for 40 days. And then Satan comes along to tempt him. This is at the beginning of his ministry. And he tempts him to turn stones into bread. You're hungry. You have power. Use your power to satisfy yourself. And then Satan's next temptation is cast yourself down. Defy God's laws for attention. Defy God's laws for attention. Cast yourself down from this very high pinnacle. And won't God save you? We had a guy in the field across from where we live in the park. He was out there testing his hang glider yesterday. And my wife said, that's one sport I'll never do. I'll never do that. I can't imagine trusting that silk kite to carry me. He was just practicing launching. But, you know, some of the things we do sometimes are challenging God's laws. Sometimes we do it for attention. Sometimes we just do it because inside we have this need for adrenaline. But Jesus turned to him and said, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then thirdly, Satan came along and tempted Jesus. I'll take you up this mountain. I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world. And if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And Jesus said, no. Thou shalt worship only God. Not kingdoms, not power. So those are some of the temptations that cause people to steal. Satan can tempt us very easily in our life. What kinds of theft are there? What kinds of theft? Well, the first one I listed there for you is stealing from God, and it's worship. As we just quoted from the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan, Jesus said to Satan, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only. Don't worship money. Don't worship power. Don't worship your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your spouse. Don't worship a car. Don't worship anything else but God. That's his instruction. And God, of course, is very clear about that. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 12, he says there, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. He's saying to the children of Israel, and he's saying to us today, beware of the culture around you. It may infect you. It may infect you with their ways. But he shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and thou go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Be careful of the culture around you. Do not allow it to dilute or pull away your worship of God and God alone. Second one there is tithes and offerings. Can you rob God? Yes, the Bible speaks very clearly how we can rob God. There's a very sober warning with it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. God is saying to Israel at that point, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That was the concept of the people bringing their tithes in honor to God. Tithes stood for 10%. And bringing it into the place of worship where they would then use it to help people. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I will bring nature into synchronous with blessing you, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. So if you say, well, that's Old Testament, that doesn't apply today. Well, there is still the principle of honoring God, not just in words, but in our time and in our finances as well. We can rob God of that which is his. And lastly, Sabbaths. Ezekiel, we talked about this back when we talked about the Sabbaths, and we talked about that aspect of stopping from life to remember and honor God who gives us the very strength to enjoy life. Exodus or Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they have greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. God has his Sabbaths, the weekly, the 7 years, the 50 years, the special holidays, of which we have, of course, one this week with the Day of Atonement on Wednesday, the biblical feast of Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement Wednesday, where it's a very sober day amongst the Jewish people where they stop and repent of their sin and ask God to forgive them. That's a Sabbath. That's a day in which you set aside all the normal activities of life to really reflect on God's instruction. So those are things that we can do to steal from God: worship, tithes and offerings, and Sabbaths. What about stealing from others? Well, the list is a little longer here. As you can see in your outline, it's a little longer. Leviticus chapter 19 talks about don't take something from your neighbor. We're going to talk about this in more detail as we go along here, but it says there in verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. And defrauding is speaking about raising expectations and then not fulfilling them. Don't defraud him. Neither rob him. Don't defraud or rob him. Next one is for us pastors and elders. Jeremiah chapter 23. This is one that I take very soberly. It says there that we can actually steal from our congregants as leaders in the church. How do we do that? Well, let's take a look here in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 to 4. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them or attended to their needs, is what that means. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Pastors and elders have a responsibility to feed God's people, God's word, and attend to their needs. So please don't be shy about calling the church and saying, I have a need, whether it's for prayer or whether it's a practical need, because we have a sober responsibility before God to meet that need, and we'll do our best. And if we failed in the past, please forgive us. We don't want to. But pastors can rob their congregants of what God has called us to supply them. What about business clients? Can you steal from business clients? Yes, you can. And the Bible is pretty clear. The beautiful thing about these commandments is if you do a deep dive into them, you quickly discover God's addressed every area of life. Every area of life he's given instruction on. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35 and 36, he says there, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgments, in meat yards, meaning measures of distance, in weight or in measure, just balances, scales, just weights, a just ephah, which is a measure of volume of dry goods, and a just hin, which is a measure of volume of liquid goods, shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. One of the things I noticed with inflation is that it's not really deceptive, but it's happening. Remember when you used to get real big hamburgers? Now the price is the same and they're getting small. The meat's getting thinner and thinner. The burger's getting smaller and smaller. Happens. And what God is saying here is that we as his people are not to be deceitfully taking from our business clients by adjusting the weights. Oh, I'll sell you 5 pounds of sugar, but actually, when I go home and weigh it, it's only 4.5. Hey, what's going on here? Don't do that. Don't do that. Then over in Amos, be sure you supply what you promised to supply. Now, of course, when you go into the drive-thru at A&W or McDonald's, the picture that's on the sign there looks really good. Those advertisements, you can, man, those burgers are so thick with all... It doesn't always come out that way when you actually get it from the window, does it? Does it? No. Amos chapter 8, verse 4. Hear this, O you that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small? Ephah, remembering? Remember, it's a volume of dry goods. And the shekel great. Inflate the currency, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. You think you can blow it by a customer, but God's watching, and he knows. And he's saying, be careful, be careful. We can rob by disobeying God's instructions regarding interest, stealing from others. It says there in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 19, thou shalt not bring the hire, or verse 19, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Usury is the idea of making profit off of loaning something to somebody. And it says there very clearly, don't do that with food. Don't do that with any of your tools, any of your things, your money. Don't do it. Thy brother. Talks about a brother. The strangers were allowed to charge interest and usury for, but it says for those who are a brother, speaking to the children of Israel at this point, their people, don't do that. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fall into decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him or help him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase or profit, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live well, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. There's very sincere warnings here about how we can violate God's heart by profiting off of each other. Well, how do you make money? We'll get back to that in a moment. A lender, Psalm 37. Don't steal from a lender. I think all of us in life at some point have had to either have a mortgage or borrow money. And it's a very profound verse here in Psalm 37, verse 21. It says, the wicked borrows and pays not again. There's no sin in borrowing, but if you don't repay. But the righteous shall showeth mercy and giveth. Psalm 37, 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Don't be one who defaults on your loans. Find a way. If you can't find a way, go and have a discussion with the one who lent to you and come to peace with something that can be provided to satisfy the arrangement that you have. Proverbs chapter 22. We can steal from the poor, the orphans, and the widows. God is very particular about this. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 22 and 23. Rob not the poor, because he is poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Wow. God takes up their cause. He will balance the scale. He will bring justice. And so many times in life, when you feel like you've been cheated, we turn around and try to find our own human way of vengeance or remedy. And God's saying, just cry out to me. I know that someone's treated you wrong. I'll deal with them. But we don't even ask him, do we, sometimes? We don't even ask him. And sometimes then we get ourselves in more trouble. Exodus chapter 22, verse 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, there's the key phrase, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Man, if you at all exploit a widow or an orphan, and if they cry out to God, you're toast. That's what the Bible's saying. God hears. God hasn't changed from the time of Proverbs till now. Same God. He very much has his justice that he will apply. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, the last part of that verse, talks about employees. Or employers. I think I got those two mixed up in my outline there. Employers. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. It says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. In other words, don't delay to pay people what you owe them, even as an employer. You can rob your employees of what you owe them. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. Get that phrase again? Lest he cry unto the Lord. If you've ever been wronged in life, don't take action on your own. Cry unto God. That comes up over and over again in Scripture. If someone cheats you, cry unto God. Watch how he'll deal with them. It's his promise. I think in some ways, in the Old Testament times, in some cultures today, even people were paid daily. You worked for a day, you got your pay. Today, where we have this semi-monthly or bi-weekly or all these different payrolls, it really is a negative to those in deep need. Well, if I work for you for a day and I'm not going to get paid for the next 2 weeks, it doesn't help me. I'm hungry today. And so I think there's a need for us as employers to give a little bit of a check into the lives of the people that we're going to hire and say, what's your need level? Do you need me to pay you sooner? If it's just convenience, that's not what we're talking about here. But if there's a severe need, look, you cut my grass for me, I'll pay you now. And you can take the money and get some food. The homeless situation in our community, not Aldergrove specifically, but certainly Abbotsford and other parts of our Fraser Valley here, is getting through the roof. I don't know if you've ever driven down Railway Avenue in Abbotsford across from MCC. Oh my goodness, the whole street is just full of tents. People living in tents. And different camping out spots occurring in a lot of places. Of course, the economy, the cost of decent housing is very expensive. And a lot of people are just checking out. But I do believe that we need to be sensitive to the need of the individual that we're hiring. How often do you need to be paid? What's your status? How desperate are you? And be sensitive to truly help them. Lest they cry out to God. I mean, it's one thing to deal with an unhappy employee. It's another thing if I'm not doing the right thing and he calls out to God. Now I'm dealing with God. Yikes. Are you with me? Yeah, it's meaningful. This is meaningful teaching from God's word. So valuable and relevant to our day. Last one is an employer. We can rob an employer. In Colossians 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, that means not just when they're looking, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Even if the boss isn't there, work, because God is your true boss and he's watching. Always be diligent as an employee, that you rob not your employer. And the last one, stealing from ourselves. You may say, oh, this is a weird one. I think the pastor's gone off his rocker here. I hope you don't think so once we're done. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. You can steal from yourself. Watch this. So fascinating. It says there in verse 2 of chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul. Everything's provided. Of all that he desires, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof. But a stranger eats it. This is vanity. And it is an evil disease. It's really speaking about stinginess or hoarding. People can just pile up money for the sake of piling up money. They have everything they need, but they haven't come to a balance of learning to enjoy it for life. I know that's a relative. My wife and I were talking about some things, and come on, we can spend it. And I'm going, I don't know. Seems like a lot of money to me. You got to find a balance there. And then my son chimed in, one of them, I'm not telling you which one to protect the guilty. Come on, Dad, you're not going to take it with you. True. I don't argue with that. But I got to have peace about, am I getting value? Is there good stewardship here for what's been earned? Am I getting value for what I'm paying? That's the responsibility we have. So we can fall into the sin, like an evil disease, it speaks of there, of hoarding, just piling up money for the sake of piling up money. And it can tempt us to put our trust in our money instead of our trust in God. And we really get trapped into a very unhealthy spiritual state. Luke chapter 15, waste. That's the other side. You got stinginess on one side, waste on the other. And you here have the story of the prodigal son. And Jesus tells this story. He says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me my inheritance. And he divides it unto them, and he divided unto them his living. The father complied. Not many days, didn't say years, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I don't know what riotous living looked like in the times of Jesus, but I think we can imagine it today. riotous living? It'd be interesting to have a little brainstorming. Could you describe for me what you think riotous living is? What it was resulted in the next verse, and when he had spent all, the money was gone. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. There were no reserves for sudden calamities. Famine is a calamity. We're experiencing it to a certain degree in our land today. And we need reserves. Not to hoard, but to supply when the calamities come. And so here you have waste. And he had nothing left. And he began to experience extreme hunger. So waste can be a way of robbing ourselves of what we really need for life. Next one is surety or co-signing. You can be very easily brought into a state of being robbed just by your own decision through co-signing. It's something to be very much aware of. Lots of verses about it, but I'll just pick this one here. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 26 and 27. Be not thou one of them that strikes hands or of them that are sureties for debts. Dad, can you just sign a guarantee for this loan? Can you just sign a guarantee? If thou hast nothing to pay, why should it take away thy bed from under thee? And people have signed guarantees for loans and this person has defaulted and they come after you and all of a sudden you're wiped out. Be very careful. That can rob, you can rob yourself by co-signing. And then over to, back to verse 1 of that same chapter, you can rob yourself of what's very important and valuable by choosing the wrong values. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Oh, I'll compromise for reputation to make some bucks. Unwise. Wisdom says a good name is better than money. A good name. Have a good name. Don't rob yourself of having a good name. It is something that not only does God honor, but the community will honor. A good name. Then John 3:16. What? John 3:16. We can rob ourselves of one of the most precious gifts from God, the gift of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. By rejecting peace with God through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, you can rob yourself of peace with God, but also of heaven. You rob yourself of eternity. Be careful. Don't steal from yourself what God has already provided for you. He's saying, just accept me as your Savior and live your life in honor to me, and I will reward you. Stealing from ourselves, the most important thing of all, eternal life. And then lastly, stealing from ourselves spiritual fellowship. How does that happen? It says there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I trust that as you come to gather here, that you are blessed with saying hi to each other, checking in on each other, praising God with song. We have beautiful musicians. They do a great job of leading us in worship and hearing God's word. And I pray constantly, don't let this be boring, God. Please don't let this be boring. I want your people fed. I want them to come here and say, that was rich. So that you go away saying, I'm encouraged, I'm inspired in my walk with God. And if we don't gather, we rob ourselves of that fellowship. Do you understand what I was saying about robbing yourself? We can rob ourselves of a lot of things. Number 3, what are some misused principles that result in stealing? Again, I'm sorry if it sounds a little outside of the typical Sunday school lesson approach, but this God's word is complex, and he addresses all the issues of life, as I've said. And this is an interesting one. Chapter 23 of Deuteronomy, it says there in verse 24, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard or blueberry field, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in your bucket unless you're paying for them. See what it's saying? You go to visit your neighbor, and out of hospitality, he feeds you, or you are walking through the fields and you try his blueberries. That's fine. But don't start taking them to take them home without paying for them. And then it says, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. Don't take advantage of your neighbor's kindness. You all know stories of people who just know who to go to who will give them what they want. It starts with our kids, doesn't it? They come along and go, oh, I know. Don't ask Dad. Better ask Mom for this one, because Dad will probably say no, but Mom will say yes. Or the other way around. They know who to ask. And I'm just saying this, that sometimes we can effectively steal by exploiting people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Kindness demanded, benevolence exploited. It happens. Don't be a person like that. That is not honorable. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Listen to this carefully. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. Key word, disorderly. It really speaks about exploiters. And not after the tradition or teachings which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. But wrought, worked with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For you hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness, not making a fuss, with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Disorderly speaks about those who take advantage of others, want something for nothing. That's a misused principle. Yes, people are kind. Yes, people are generous. But if you exploit that, it's not right. It's effectively taking something which you really shouldn't have. You should be out there working for it. Do you like to work? Hello? Do you like to work? Yeah. And it's a blessing to be able to work. And to work not only to provide for ourselves, but such that we can help others. Oh, yes, I'd love to help you if you have genuine need. You're all familiar with the corner by the Costco in Abbotsford, or, you know, the poor, hungry. There may be some. I struggle with this. My wife, she's more generous than me. But we were in, I don't know, it was Phoenix or someplace one time on vacation, and there was a guy, and he was chasing us into the Burger King. Can you help me? I'm so hungry, and blah, blah. And I said, no, I don't think so. Hardball guy, right? And no fun Dave, right? So my wife, we went in, and we stood outside for a while, then he wandered around some more. And then we went and sat down. She went to use the washroom. I was sitting in the corner of the restaurant. I saw this guy come in. And he unloaded his pockets, and he was stacking up his money. And he was counting it all. He counted it all, put it in a bag, put it in his pocket, walked out the door. Didn't buy a thing. And I told my wife that. And I said, you realize? That's what I'm talking about. That's walking disorderly. They're just exploiting people's kindness. so they don't have to work. Don't do it. God's not honored with that. The remedy for stealing. Remedy for stealing is restitution. And it was severe. I read for you just a few verses from Exodus chapter 22. I'll read, let you read the rest. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he is to repay not one, not two, not three, not four, five. He's to repay five oxen for the ox and four sheep for the sheep. That's a deterrent. If you know you're caught and you got to pay four times as much, five times as much back, ouch. What did Zacchaeus say when God met him? He was in the tree, Jesus walking by, and Zacchaeus looks down and says, my goodness, I've erred. I've done people wrong as a tax collector. I'm going to repay people four times what I've taken from them. And Jesus said, surely salvation has come to this man's house. Well, that's not self. That's God doing a work in his heart. God changes our hearts. Four times the amount. If a thief is found while breaking into a house and is struck down and dies, it is not a capital crime in that case. But if the sun has risen on him, then it is a capital crime in that case. In other words, if you could see who it was and you weren't responding instinctively out of the darkness and the uncertainty, then it is a crime. A thief is certainly to make restitution, but if he has nothing, he is to be sold for his theft. Whoa. If what was stolen is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox, a donkey, or a sheep, he is to repay double. When a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed over and releases his livestock so that they graze in another man's field, he is to make restitution from the best of his field or vineyard. When a fire breaks out and spreads into thorn bushes and consumes stacked grain or standing grain or the field, the one who started the fire certainly is to make restitution. All through Exodus chapter 22 and then over in Leviticus chapter 6, there's calls for restitution. I believe that is the major flaw of our justice system today. We arrest people for stealing, we put them in jail, and they never have to pay it back. There's some jurisdictions that have actually begun to apply restitution. The judges are ordering, you stole that man's TV? You got to give him a better one. Now, in the Bible, it would have been two or three. That's going to shut it down pretty quick. If you got to pay back three TVs for the one you stole, maybe I should just work and buy one, right? Yeah. Restitution. It's God's recipe. And then further, in Leviticus, it talks about, and you need to go to the priest and bring along a lamb as a guilt offering to God. You need to make it right with the person, but also you need to make it right with God. So it costs you not only four sheep for one sheep, but you got to bring another sheep to the priest to pay for your sin offering, your guilt offering before God. It's expensive to steal. Wouldn't that solve things? How to overcome stealing. Obey God's command. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Obey God's command to work. I struggle a bit with the culture of our day that, oh, if I could only win the lottery, I'd never have to work again. Oh, man, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable because God's already ordained that there's blessing and there's fulfillment and there's worth and value in working to be able to help others. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 to 8. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You got enough food? You got enough clothes? You got shelter? Be content. It doesn't help the advertising industry, I realize. But God says you're going to have peace in your heart. Be content. Learn contentment. It's a constant challenge in our culture today. And then lastly here, seek to help others materially and spiritually. Go back to the New Testament church, right at the very beginnings of its history. It says there, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, not by force, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. There's a great difference between what Acts 2 is talking about and communism today. These people did it out of the bountiful generosity that God had placed in their hearts to help others. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, they not only helped each other materially with things that were genuine needs, but they helped each other spiritually by coming together to have communion together and praise God together and be that community of encouragement for one another. Seek to help others materially and spiritually. There's a big switch in our souls that has to happen. Only God can make it happen. And that switch says, am I out there just for me? Or am I out there to bless God and bless others? That switch, if you can bring yourself to confess, I'm a selfish guy or selfish lady, I need to throw the switch over from being just interested in what I can get to what, how can I use what God has given me, my talents, my abilities, my skills, to bless God and bless others. Stealing becomes a moot point. It's God. Why would I steal? I'm so blessed. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. Oh, by sin entering in through Adam, we are sinners. We are selfish. We are people that in many ways, sometimes even deceive ourselves, don't see it. But Lord, we thank you for your word. It's a mirror. It's a microscope that looks down deep into our souls and sees where we have great spiritual deficiency. And so, Lord, thank you. You've provided a way. The gift of salvation is amazing. Eternal peace with you. And I pray, Lord, that if there's someone listening today who has not yet experienced that in their life, that you give them the grace to flip the switch from it's all about me to, Lord, it's all about you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.